Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. And God, we are just so grateful to be here, so grateful to have life, to breathe. God, just to have the ability to just speak your name. Lord, it is an amazing privilege. And God, as our church has experienced so much loss of late, it really is appropriate for us to just be thankful to be here. Father, I pray that we would not waste the time and the breath that you've given us. Lord, it's not an eternal gift. Lord, and I pray that even in this moment right now, that as we gather together and we sing songs to you, we pray to you, we listen to your word, God, that we would use this to the best of our ability to glorify who you are and what you mean in our life. God, I pray right now in this moment that you would speak to us, that you would work in us, that you would work through us, Lord, even if there's someone in this room or someone who's watching right now, that if they're doubting, struggling, just not really sure, God, that you will come on them right now in such a way that they can feel you and know that you are real. Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be evident not only in this place but in our hearts, so that when we leave here today, Lord, we can take something with us to know that we have visited with you. And Jesus, I pray that you would convict us, that you would change us, that you would mold us, and that none of us here would be too prideful to think that nothing in us needs to be changed or improved in any way. Father, I pray that we would humbly submit ourselves to you and allow you to do the great work in us that you've always wanted to do. And not just one work, but many works. Not just today, but in future days, Lord, that we would continuously submit to you and allow you to work and move. Father, I specifically want to pray for the Amin family today, with Brandy losing her mother. Father, I want to pray for the Everett family. And Lord, as we continue to pray for them with losing Barbara and Steve, Lord, we just remember Erica right now in the hospital. And Lord, you know that situation. You know her. You know her body. Jesus, you know what this time is. So God, we just pray that you would be with her today. God, that your spirit would fill her, that she would know you are present and with her. God, that you would be with her family and give them peace during this time. Lord, we just pray that you would heal her physical body. Lord, you know that that's what we want. But Lord, even more than what we want, we just pray that your will would be done, as difficult as that is to say sometimes. God, we just pray that you would be in this situation, you would be with this family. Lord, as we dig into your word, use it in a mighty, mighty way this morning. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you for who you are and everything that you've done, everything that you're going to do. And we ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Well, it is good to see you this morning, and I do want to just brag on you guys and say thank you. We've lost, you know, a few people here recently, and we've just had so many compliments from families on our church and our support. And so just thank you so much for being present, for supporting them. Meals, things like that that you've brought by and ways that you've supported. They are thankful. We are thankful that you've represented our church well, and we're just so grateful for that. So we're in this series. We're talking about uphill battle. And last week we talked about excitement. You know, when you begin the journey, there's a lot of excitement in the journey. And today we're talking about the wear that happens. And so the journey wears us down. And so, you know, this has kind of been one of those series that either you are in the middle of what we're talking about or you're going to experience what we're talking about. And so I've been kind of like challenging some of you older people to testify to this and be a little more vocal in your affirmation of this to some of our younger people. Because when you go on a journey, it's not just a one-day thing. I mean, it's a long period of time, and some journeys are longer than the other. And so what you have to understand is when you choose to follow Jesus Christ, when you accept Him in your heart, this is a lifelong journey. It's a long time. And I don't know about you guys, but there's been things and seasons in my life where I've went through stuff and had to endure things. Maybe it was a job. Maybe it was something, you know, just whatever. And we're just so ready for that time period to be over with, right? When Naomi was born, for the first 3 months, we told people how awful she was. She cried constantly. And we were just so ready for that time period to be over with. And it's not like we want to wish time away or we didn't enjoy having a brand new baby, but we were just ready for her not to cry 24/7. And she did that for 3 months, but we were ready for that journey to be over with. And so thankful when it was done. Still thankful. We wake up every day and say, she's so much more pleasant now than what she used to be. You know, when we first started this series, I told you about the kids at Table Rock at our camp, how they always want to go hiking. Like 7 miles, up in the air, total craziness why they would want to go hiking, but they do. And it's not really fair because, you know, the whole week, we have this beautiful campground. It's over 200 acres. And so while they're there, the campground is nestled in the valley. And so really, you don't see anything except for trees and some rocks and grass and a couple buildings. And so this whole time they're at camp for like Monday to Thursday till it's time to go hiking, the only thing they can see beyond a couple hundred yards around them is this giant mountain up in the air that's just looking at them and teasing them. You know, it's like you look at this beautiful, gorgeous mountain all week long when you're outside. Then you go in the tabernacle and we have services. We have this giant glass wall. And guess what you look at the whole time you're in service? The mountain. And the whole time they're staring at this mountain and it's teasing them. It's calling their name. And so obviously when it's time to go hiking, everybody wants to go hiking. Because think about this. They see the mountain. And as beautiful as the mountain is, how many of you love looking at the mountains? Like it's beautiful, right? Beautiful. You love looking at the mountains. There's something instinctively inside of us that knows that as beautiful as it is from here looking up, that if you were up there looking down, the view's even better, right? And that's how we are as Christians. God has instinctively put something inside of you where you know there's something in you that lets you know that the view, like you look up in the space, you look at the stars, you look up to God, and you know there's something in you that says the view up there is better than the view down here, even though the view down here is pretty great, right? And there's something in us that wants to go there. Now, you may not be in a hurry to go there. Anybody in a hurry? Anybody ready to go? I'm not ready to go. I want to be here a little longer. There's something in us that knows that up there the view is better than it is down here. But what happens is that we go on this journey and we take the kids hiking. And so it's great. The whole time they're driving, they get in the bus, they get in the vans, they go down, and they drive a little further down. So when you go in the state park, you're still kind of going downhill in the valley a little bit, and you can still see the mountain. It's pretty visible the whole time. And if you've ever been to Table Rock State Park, because you got to go in the state park to go hike the mountain, you get down to the lake and where everything is, and you park, and you can still see the mountain. It's just like right up above you, and it's really cool. And they're so excited. And then you take them on the trail. And when you get on the trail, you're covered in the forest. There's trees everywhere. And all of a sudden, you lose sight of the destination of where you're going. And for some kids, it's like 30 seconds. And for others, it's like maybe 30 minutes, an hour into it. But the excitement begins to fade because they can't see where they're going anymore. And you're on this trail and you're walking uphill and it's a difficult travel. Most of them did not hydrate well. Most of them didn't eat well. Most of them have never exercised before in their life. And they go hiking up this mountain and they can't see where they're going. And you look at this path in front of you and you might can see maybe 30 yards ahead of you at some point in time, but the path is constantly turning. And you can't see that far ahead of you because it's turning. There's trees and there's rocks and you walk around all this different stuff and you don't really get to see too far ahead of where you're going, and so you lose excitement. You're just walking. It feels mundane for hours. And you're going uphill and you're getting tired. And the kids are sweating They're getting dehydrated because they've never done this before. They had no clue what they were getting into. They start crying. Bee stings, snakes. Every once in a while you see a bear. They all want to quit. We do this as Christians. Think about it. We follow Christ. We talked about excitement last week. We get super excited. In the beginning, it's super exciting. The thought of the journey and what you've just found is so exciting. And then you get on the journey, and sometimes we lose sight of the destination we're going to. Now, some of you in here, you might be sitting in here this morning, and you may be willing to admit that you've lost sight of where you're going on your journey with Christ because you took your eyes off of it, and you just started paying attention to other things. And that's devastating in our relationship with Christ. And while that's very common, it's very dangerous. You need to be made aware of that. But some of us in here, we've been on this journey, and it's not necessarily that we've taken our eyes off of the destination or off of Christ, but sometimes along the journey, you just get to points and spots where you can't see the destination. You're looking for it, but you just can't find it. On the way home last night, we were at my in-laws, and we left, and it was dark, and we were coming back home. You got to come back through Buck Creek to get there. So on the Bullen Springs side of Buck Creek, it's like high in elevation. And on the way home, there's this big, giant, beautiful orange moon. And it was amazing. And then, you know, as you go through Buck Creek, it's like the armpit of this area. It's kind of weird. You just kind of go down in this massive hole. You lose sight of it. You couldn't see the moon anymore. And so, like, we would go through various spots, and you might catch a glimpse of it, and then you would come up a hill, and you might see it. But it eventually got to the point where you go down past Buck Creek Church, and you cross the bridge, and you couldn't see the moon, and it didn't matter how much I looked for it. Didn't mean it wasn't there, but I couldn't see it. Not until I got up past 221 on the other side and got over to Highway 110 in Cowpens before I could see the moon again. It wasn't the fact that I didn't want to see it, or I wasn't looking for it. There are just times on the journey where we lose sight of the destination, and in ways, given enough time, that can have a wear on us. You're sitting in here this morning, and I want you to understand that if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you're following Him, if you have not already began to struggle in your relationship with Christ, there is going to come a point in time when you will. And it's not just going to be one time, but there's going to be lots of times where we struggle in our relationship with Christ for various reasons. You're sitting in here this morning, and I want you to understand, you can make personal choices that are going to cause you to struggle in your relationship with Christ. Taking your eyes off of the destination will cause you to struggle in your relationship with Christ. Living in sin, making bad choices, you can do that on your own. But there are just going to be times in your journey where you are going to lose sight of the destination that you're going to, and it's going to be frustrating. It's going to be difficult. And I was preparing this sermon this week, and I was looking at this. I was just thinking of Tony and the Everett family. They've lost three family members in the past 2 months. And his sister Erica's in the hospital now, and we prayed for her earlier today. And it's like there's situations and circumstances in our life that when you get to a certain point, anybody would just be willing to throw their hands up and say, God, if it's going to be like this, I'm out. I don't know if you've ever been there. I've been there. There was a time when I was in youth ministry where I just sit down. I was praying one day. I was like, God, if it's going to be like this, I'm done. I would rather enjoy what little bit of time I have in this world than go through what I'm going through right now just to be faithful to you. That's where I was at in that moment in time. I don't know if you've been there. I was there. There are situations and circumstances that we're going to go through in life that is going to cause us to struggle and doubt and lose sight of the destination. And we as people have to understand there's an entire Bible written about not giving up and staying on course and completing this journey through the help of Jesus Christ. And so that's where we are this morning. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is verses 8 through 11. We're going to read this together. And Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but Paul is one of the most influential people in the New Testament. He was miraculously converted on the road to Damascus. Jesus Christ appeared to him in person, spoke to him. Paul saw him. Jesus called him and said, I've called you to specifically do this. How many of you would love to have that moment? Right? I mean, it's like so much easier when you just know what you're supposed to do instead of just trying to like feel like you're blind and just trying to find your way around in the dark. Paul knew. Jesus called him. And Paul has already been around and been extremely successful in his ministry. And this is the second book that he's writing to the church in Corinth. And Paul lets the church know, he says, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. Good times? Trouble. But they're Christians. He's an apostle. They're not supposed to go through hard times. Is that true? No. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that we are exempt or nulled and voided from things of the earth taking place. Look at what Paul says. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. Crushed and overwhelmed. And we thought we would never live through it. Now, I don't know about you guys. Some of the stuff that they were facing was physical. A lot of it's emotional and spiritual. But I'm sure some of you have been through health issues in your life where you wasn't sure if you were going to make it. Some of you are experiencing that with family now. Maybe you've experienced it here recently. Some of you have been through situations and circumstances in life where you have come to the point in your life where you're on that path like those kids in the middle of the woods and you can only see so far ahead of you and you can't see past that. And at certain points in times in a lot of people's life, when they get on that path, and they can't see but so far ahead, they begin to wonder, is it even worth living for to keep going like this? Young people especially. And things like suicide and stuff like that begins to set in. There's a lot of questions in our life when it comes to the point of when we begin to be afflicted and oppressed and we suffer. You with me this morning? Paying attention? We were not made to suffer eternally. There are going to be times in our life where we suffer temporarily, but we were not made to suffer eternally. And so there are going to be times in your life where you feel like this suffering is going to last forever, but it's not, and it's hard to see ahead of that. You look at verse 9. It said, in fact, we expected to die. Paul and his companions had come to the point where they were just like, we're going to die. And they were okay. They had come to the reasonable acceptance, we're going to die, and they were okay with it. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God who raises the dead. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was reading this morning or this past week, I was sitting here thinking, I was like, this is really funny that God... I mean, Paul, this amazing apostle who had already done so much work in the name of Christ, just now is coming to the point where he is stopping relying on himself and he's beginning to rely on God completely and wholly. That's pretty interesting. We'll talk about that here in a second. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. And you are helping us by praying for us, then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. It's amazing what you see in this moment where Paul is like struggling. They thought they were coming to the point of death. And then they realize, we can't do this. We stopped relying on ourselves. They begin to rely on God. And they witness God rescuing them in this moment. And because of that rescue, and they have confidence that not only will God rescue them now, but he'll rescue them again in the future. That because people are praying, they have the ability to know that God will answer prayers in the future. So point number one, there will come a time when you struggle with your walk in Christ. There will come a time. Like I said, it could be sin, it could be situations, circumstances, family, whatever. Paul, in this moment, is admitting that they're having struggles in their ministry. He's talking about how they're being oppressed beyond the point that they can even withstand, to the point where they thought they were going to die. And you know, sometimes we think that whenever we follow Christ, we've talked about this, that life is just magically going to get better. Right? I mean, people just assume that when I give my life to Jesus Christ, everything's supposed to get better and it's not supposed to be hard like it was anymore. And while some things in that sense are true, that's true in some sense, it's not true in every sense. And so think about this. Whenever you give your life to Jesus Christ, you have been bought by him, you belong to him now, and Satan has lost you. And so when you give your life to Christ, you have to understand that Satan is coming and he's calling your name. He wants to bring you back to him so that he can have you again. And so when we get saved and we give our life to Christ and we're walking with Christ on a daily basis, you can expect that Satan is going to come and try to make you stumble and fall and bring you back to himself. You with me today? That's true. That's scriptural. Now, if you have not been saved, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, guess what? Who do you belong to? Thank you. We got one paying attention. He owns you. He's not going to mess with you as long as he owns you. And many of you older people in here who's been saved, and you can testify to this, it's very frustrating when you're looking around and you're observing other people, and you see these other people who are living in sin, and young people watch this, and because they see this in the moment in time where they're living in, they fall back into sin because they're watching their peers and their friends living in sin, and it doesn't seem like anything bad happens to them, right? And it doesn't seem like they experience the consequences that Scripture talks about right away. And so they're like, well, it's not that bad. They were doing that. I tried this, and I didn't die and burn in hell like Mom and Daddy said I would. And so, like, they go out and they do this. As long as you belong to Satan, he'll let you do your thing. He's not going to come. He's not going to mess with you. He wants you to be happy with what you're doing because he wants you to stay where you are. But there will come a day and time, and you older people can attest to this, where you have seen the people that you've watched for years who have lived in sin, where eventually the consequences of sin eventually catches up with you, and it all hits at one time. Where God finally says, okay, I've let you do what you want to do. I've let you wander as long as I'm going to let you wander. There are consequences to sin, and now you get to experience it, and it all comes at once. And it's flooding and overwhelming. And that's what happens. Guys, I'm going to tell you, you have to understand this morning, you're going to experience tough times in this world. And even if you're living for Christ, I don't know about you, but there's been times where I've been splattered by stuff that other people's done. You ever been affected by something other people's done? I've had drinks spilled on me that I didn't spill, but I've wore them for somebody else. You live in a sinful world surrounded by sinful people, and other people's sins and their mistakes and their shortcomings are going to affect you in some shape, way, form. You are not going to be impervious from misfortunes and things and sinfulness and the consequences of sin until you go be with the Lord. You're not going to be exempt from it. We're going to experience hard times. And if you follow Christ, there will be temptations. There will be testings. Think about the book of Job. There's a reason why we have it. The most righteous man in all the earth gets tested to prove his devotion to the Lord. He'd done absolutely nothing wrong and experienced some of the worst sufferings that we read about in all of Scripture. There's a reason why we have that book, because God wants us to know that there are going to be times in our life where we suffer, where we get on that journey, and it's going to be difficult, but it does not mean that we should give up or quit trying. And if you're struggling this morning, if you feel like you've lost your excitement, if you feel like, man, I'm not passionate about Christ like I used to be. Because you got to be honest with yourself. Some of you might be sitting in here this morning, and you could, if you will just be honest with yourself, you'd probably say, I'm not as excited about my relationship with Christ as I was at this point in time in my life. Maybe you can look back at another time where you were really excited about God. You don't feel that way anymore. I want to encourage you and tell you there's nothing wrong with you. You're human. You're going to struggle. You're going to have hard times. You're going to walk through that path of that journey where you're going to be canopied and you're not going to be able to see out. You're not going to be able to see forward. You're just going to be on this part of the journey that's going to be difficult. And you're not going to be able to see your destination, and it's going to wear you down. And that's okay. Because the thing is that Christ calls us back to himself. Pastor Timmy has talked about this passage since he came on board. When he arrived in December of 2018, we were just hanging out, getting to really know each other a little better than what we did before, getting him settled in to ministry. And he was talking about Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. This letter to the church in Ephesus about what they needed to do in order to be in right standing with Christ. And John delivers this message where Christ tells the church in Ephesus, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Here's this very influential church in the New Testament who loved God. They loved each other, but the excitement had faded. They just weren't like they were before. They had lost something. And Jesus says, look how far you've fallen. He doesn't say, now because you've done this, you're going to burn in hell. Huh. He just does away with you and just burns you up and gets rid of you. He doesn't do that. He looks and says, look at how far you've fallen. Pay attention. Comprehend what's going on in your life so that you can do something about it. And then he says, turn back to me and do the works that you did at first. He invites them to come back to him. And so if you're sitting here this morning, you're struggling, and your relationship with Christ isn't what it used to be, it's okay because you can come back to Jesus, but if you don't come back to Jesus, it's not okay. And look at what he says. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. So if you don't repent and come back to Christ and get away from whatever it is that's keeping you from being excited about him, then it says it will be removed from among the churches and among the people who are following on the path, who are serving him like we're called to do. You with me this morning? If you're struggling, it's okay. But come back to Jesus and repent. Allow him to heal you. Allow him to give you the strength to carry on and do what he's called you to do. You with me today? Paying attention? You were called to a journey that you can't complete on your own. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. You have been called to follow Jesus Christ for an entire lifetime, as long as you live and breathe. And the longer you live, the harder it gets. But you can't do it on your own. You don't have the power, the strength, the wisdom, the knowledge. You don't have what it takes to do this journey on your own. That's why so many people give up, because so many people try to do it on their own. You are called to do this journey with the power and the help of Jesus Christ. So point number two, there must come a time when you stop relying on yourself to do this and you rely on God. You got to stop relying on yourself. I think it's amazing. You look at Paul. And here he is. He had been in ministry for quite some time at this point. He had been successful in his ministry. And he just got to the point in this experience where he said, we stopped relying on ourselves and we started relying on God. Can I be honest with you today? Leading up to 2020, I was in ministry for 16 years. And I would love to be able to tell you that I did all this with the help of Christ. And if you would have asked me during those first 16 years of ministry, are you ministering with the help of Christ? I would have said, yes, I'm ministering with the help of Christ, because if I said I was doing this on my own, that's like sinful and like borderline blasphemous and just stupid, all right? I mean, if I would have said, yeah, I'm doing ministry on my own, I don't need God, like, that's crazy. Nobody would say that. But looking back at ministry then, I really can't draw a line and tell you exactly where I was relying on God to do things and I was trying to do things on my own. Let's be honest. How easy is it for us to just let go of stuff and let God be in control? How many of us can sit here today and honestly say, I'm completely and 100% surrendered to Jesus Christ in every single aspect of my life? Not a whole lot of I wish I could, I can't. That's one of the most difficult things for us to do, especially men, to just let go and let God be in control and just trust in Him. Extremely difficult. But when 2020 comes along and the world falls apart all of a sudden, and now we're in like year two of it, I can tell you today, and I'm not saying we're doing this perfectly, but what I can testify to is that our church has relied on Jesus Christ to lead us in ways that I've never experienced before in my previous 16 years of ministry. Because nobody has the answers. The doctors don't have the answers. The politicians don't have the answers. We don't have the answers. Nobody can agree on anything anymore. You have nobody to look to guide you through any aspect of life right now except for God. And I'm not saying that we've made every single right decision at church. Only thing I can say is our church has done really well during this time when a lot of churches haven't, and we've relied on God more than what we ever have before. Because we've had to. It wasn't like I just woke up one day and said, we're going to rely on God from now on. God brought this through His choosing. One of the hardest decisions that you will make as a human being is letting go and relying on God to guide you in every aspect of your life, because it terrifies us to think where God would lead us. I can remember sitting there playing, God, let your will be done, except don't send me here, don't let me have to do this, don't let me have to do that. There's always stipulations. But we got to rely on God. As I said before, you're called to a journey that you can't do on your own. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 through 31, extremely popular passage of Scripture, the prophet writes, He gives power to the weak, and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. How many of you older people in here have ever looked at some youths and said, I wish I had their energy? All right? I'm 37, and I look at younger people all the time like, I wish I had the energy to do that. I don't have that energy anymore, or like, I just don't care anymore. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but you just lose it every time. And you look at other people and you're like, I wish I had the energy of youths. It's really funny. Yesterday, I was up before 6 a.m. Went out and worked yesterday morning. Had a really busy day. Perry probably slept till like 9 a.m. It was kind of like his off day. And I look at him all the time. I'm like, I wish I had enough energy to just run and climb stuff. I remember just climbing stuff like that when I was little. I'm like, I wish I had the energy to do that. Perry took a nap yesterday, got up, played again. Before we even made it to Lake Blaylock last night, he was passed out in the car. I picked him up out of the car seat, laid him in bed. He never moved. Youths grow tired and weary. And even though we don't have the energy, it was really funny how he got to take like a 2 and 3 hour nap. I mean, he was asleep before we ever got home. He was exhausted. But when you look at this, in verse 31, it says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And when you look at this passage of Scripture, God is not just talking about this energy that we get whenever we take naps and we eat food because we need more energy and we need to be rested. God is talking about this supernatural, unexplainable ability to run and not grow weary, to walk and not faint. God can give you the strength that you need to carry on and do what He's called you to do. And I'm telling you this morning, we're on a journey that is going to wear us down. Satan is waiting along that journey, and he's prowling around looking for the opportunity to devour you. He's hiding along that path, and he's looking for the opportunity to trip you up and gobble you up and turn you into an afternoon snack. And if you don't rely on Jesus Christ to give you the power and the strength, the supernatural power and strength you need to complete this journey, you're not going to complete it. You're going to get off course. You're going to lose sight of the destination that you're going to. You're going to get tired. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to get mad. You're going to get emotional. And you're going to give up. Because on your own, you do not have what it takes. I do not have what it takes. Nobody has what it takes to do it on their own. Paul did not have what it takes. And he comes to this revelation whenever he's experiencing this burden beyond what he could bear, to the point they thought they were going to die. And they said, we'll start relying on God now, the one who raises people from the dead. And they witness God rescuing them and taking care of them. God is the only one who can give us the strength, the courage, the knowledge, the wisdom to go above and beyond what we understand to be possible in our own lives. You're sitting here today and you don't understand what God can do in you and through you because you've not stopped relying on yourself and begin to rely on Him. He's the one that gives us the strength, the courage, the knowledge, and the wisdom to carry out His plan. And I want you to listen to this morning. You are not just part of God's plan, but you are God's plan. God created you to do something in you and through you. Now, there is a much bigger plan that you're a part of, but God has a specific and special plan for you. He can't do that until you surrender to Him and rely on Him to do that great work in your life. So point number three, we must completely surrender to God. And when we do, the view will change. Now, like we said before, there's some of you in here, you just took your eyes off the view. It's been there all along, you just took your eyes off of it. Some of us are just in that part of the journey right now where we just cannot see far enough ahead of us to get the view we need to get that extra strength to carry on. You know, I was telling you about those kids that we used to take hiking. And it's amazing because we wouldn't let them quit, no matter how much they cried or threw up or whatever. Like, bee stings, didn't matter. We drug them to the halfway point, okay? But when you go to the halfway point at Table Rock, there's this cool little shelter up there. It's like a little picnic shelter. And it's an amazing time because they get to sit up there, and this picnic shelter perfectly looks out on our campground. I mean, it's just like this direct view. Boom, there's the campground. And for the first time in probably an hour or two that they've been hiking uphill, they get to finally see how far they've come. Up to this point, it's just like, and you can see a few feet ahead of you, you see a few feet behind you, and it's miserable. How many of you like to ride behind a transfer truck going down the road? It's miserable. Why? Because you can't see anything. Nobody wants to stare at somebody else's rear end. You do whatever you can to get around it because you want to be able to see. And for the first time, whenever they get up to this halfway point, they see how far they've come and they get to look down on the campground and like, dude, this is awesome. And they get so, it's so funny. They're like crying 1 second. Oh, we're done. You're killing us. And they like have all this energy and they're like super excited again. And they see the campground and we give them a snack. We give them some drink. We let them rest for about 20 or 30 minutes. And usually every kid that was ready to quit says, No. We're going to the top. And it's really funny because the complaining on the second half of the journey, even though the journey on the second half is a little more difficult, there's not nearly as much complaining. Because they got to see how cool it is from the view halfway up, and they realize in their heads, they say, if it's this cool halfway up, think about the view up there. If we can finish this, think about how cool it's going to be up there to see this. And I want to challenge you guys. You may not be able to see where you are now, but there's going to come a point in time where God says, this part of the journey is done, and we're going to rest. I'm going to give you a view so that you can see how far you've come, and maybe you can catch another glimpse of the mountain to see where it is that we're going, just to remind you of why you started on this journey. And so you're sitting here this morning, and you might be contemplating giving up. You might be sitting here, and you might think, well, I feel like I may have already given up. And I want to tell you, rely on God. Because when you rely on God, the view changes. You know, the other night, the whole time when I was driving home, and I could see that huge, beautiful orange moon, and I just kept like driving, and I would drive, and I would look for it. I couldn't always see it, but it didn't mean that it wasn't there. And whenever I got close to home and everything opened back up and I could see it again, guess what? It was there. We got to keep our eyes on it. We got to keep looking for it. God always gives us those experiences that we need, like those kids had at that halfway point, because He knows we need that. We need that rejuvenation. You need the rest. You need the nourishment. You need the encouragement to keep going. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus tells His followers, He said, come to Me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. Let Me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Guys, your life is a journey. And let me tell you something. Whether or not you give your heart to Christ, your life is a journey. And it's long in some ways and it's short in others. But you're going to experience hurt. You're going to experience pain. You're going to experience loss. You know this. It's just part of life. We're going to go through these things together. But following Christ gives you everything that you need to overcome and complete the journey that you don't have on your own. And if we don't rely on Him, if we don't call on Him, then we're not going to be able to do it. You know, if you don't follow the calling that Jesus puts on your life for this journey, then you're going to be following the journey with the world. What's funny is if you go on the journey with Christ, He gives you everything you need to accomplish the journey. He's a giver. He gives to you. And there's some things that He calls us to give. But what we realize over time is the things that He calls us to give, they may seem really hard at first to give up, but when you give them up, you're like, man, I'm glad I don't do that anymore. I'm glad I don't have to worry about that anymore. I'm glad I don't have to deal with that anymore. Because what it is, it's baggage. And so when we give it up for Christ, it frees us up to go on the journey and complete the journey. But the world, if you go on the world's journey, what you're going to find is the world just takes from you. You know this. Parents, as much as you love your kids, they're just going to take from you. They're going to ask from you. Family, friends, the world, your job, society, life, everything you watch in commercials, everything you see on TV, it's someone pulling at you, trying to get something from you. And in reality, Jesus is trying to say, let Me give you everything that you need to complete this journey and do this. But we got to surrender to Him in order to receive the things that He wants to give us to complete it. And that's where most people struggle, because we're just not ready to surrender. But we have to step out on faith. We have to believe in our hearts that Christ has our best interest in mind, that He has an eternal home for us. He has a destination for us. He has everything that we need to complete this journey. And if we could just let go of the reins and let Him take over, He would give us everything we need to complete the journey. During the hard times, during the things that we think that we could never overcome or get over, He can bring peace and healing and understanding in things that we never thought possible. He gives us everything we need to accomplish the journey, but we have to surrender. And the funny thing is, when we first start the journey, we surrender and there's excitement. But what happens is as time goes on, there's new things in life. There's different situations and circumstances that we have to surrender in life, right? You might hear some older people talk about sins of the youth. Like, there's a lot of sins whenever you're younger you struggle with. When you get older, you don't struggle with those sins anymore because now you're struggling with new things that you're having to deal with in life, situations, circumstances. And then when you get older, things change. And then when you're elderly, things change. And if you're not careful, you'll end up somewhere along the journey and you won't be representing Christ well, and you won't be set up to complete the journey if we don't surrender to Him daily. If we surrender to Him, we will always have access to everything we need to complete the journey. So the question is whether or not you'll surrender. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the opportunity to be here. Lord, for the opportunity to read Your word. And Lord, I pray that You would remind us. Lord, that You would convict us as we walk out of this room today, that we would not forget that we are on a lifelong journey, and as long as we live and breathe, we are called to move towards that destination in a way that represents You well. And I pray, God, that we would understand that we cannot do it on our own, but Jesus, we need You to help us along the way. And it's not just a physical power, but Lord, it's a supernatural power that is just beyond what we can understand or explain, that You will just be with us and give us all that we need to complete the journey. Help us to surrender to You so that we can do that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.